Hello, and thanks for joining us for this episode of The Denfos Way. We are a podcast developed and produced at the Defense Information School. This program is dedicated to developing and showcasing the skills of military communicators, public affairs professionals, and industry experts from all over the world. I'm your host, Jack Rouse. I'm a former Navy and civilian journalist and a current training specialist here at Denfos. Joining me today is Pete Robertson. He is the very recently former Denfos Public Affairs Officer and a current training instructor here at Denfos. And he is joining us today for a very special episode for a very special reason. So, Pete, hello, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
So, I don't want to dive into it too much, but we have a very special anniversary coming up here at Denfos with some very special events, and as such we decided to do a very special episode of the podcast that centers pretty much around you. So I'm just going to turn it over to you and have you tell us what we're doing here today.
Yeah, I mean, it really is just all about me. So Denfos, we have an alumni day coming up in celebration, or we have an alumni week coming up here at Denfos in celebration of our 60th anniversary. That will include a Diamond Jubilee, Hall of Fame ceremony, and some training that takes place in the building. But really, it's a year-long celebration, right? Talking about, you know, everything that led to the creation of Denfos, everything that led to the creation of Denfos, and what Denfos has become since it was created 60 years ago. There's, you know, a lot of schools in the past century that were stood up to teach public affairs, public relations, communication strategy, visual information, photography, maintenance, lithography, just all of the disciplines that are now really covered under the hat of Denfos. So even folks who didn't go through Denfos are part of that legacy, and we celebrate, you know, every aspect of military visual information and public affairs since its very beginning, somewhere in these halls, whether it's the Hall of History, the Hall of Heroes, or our Hall of Fame. There's a lot of halls. This birthday celebration and the alumni week are really just a part of a year-long effort to look back at Denfos history and say, you know, look how far we've come and where we're going, you know, in the future. And so there's a lot to talk about. And also, it's an opportunity for us to reach back to alumni who have been through many of the schools that became part of Denfos' legacy to really help piece that history together, because yeah, there really hasn't been a central location to document that. And so while we still have folks who remember those things, still have artifacts, haven't thrown everything away,
right,
it's also kind of an opportunity for us to say, like, hey, we want your legacy to be part of Denfos' legacy and to share those stories and information with us.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's going to be a really fun time. It's been fun walking around the halls and talking about it with people and seeing all the stuff that is going up about it. So, you know, kind of tell us more about the history of Denfos and kind of where we came from, because I think that's important and relevant to the conversation of where we're going in the future.
It really starts in two major disciplines, right? We have photography and we have writing and public affairs. And photography goes back, I would say, 100 years, but it's even more than that. During World War I, there was, you know, sort of this notion that, like, oh, there's actually a need for aerial photography in this emerging field. I mean, flight itself was new, and so the idea of aerial photography really started to take off. And it was around 1917 that aerial photography training started at Langley Field in Virginia to support things like reconnaissance and mapping efforts during World War I. It was then relocated a couple times, ended up at Lowry Field. Lowry Field became Lowry Air Force Base, and that was around 1938, really just to centralize and enhance training. And that became one of the biggest places that trained service members in aerial photography, reconnaissance photography, mapping, and later became one of the first places that women in uniform served during World War II and were able to and received photography training as well.
How incredibly important. I mean, we can't stress how important not only it was to develop that technology quickly and get people trained in it quickly because of how important it was to the war effort. You know, that was, we were doing important intelligence work at a time with technology that had really just been invented and trying to teach people how to do it all at the same time.
And then around the same time, you also have the naval visual information training that was We have Walter Richardson, who is, you know, sort of well known to be the Navy father of photography. He, you know, was just taking a camera out and taking an opportunity to bring cameras onto planes, convincing pilots. He was, you know, given a commission and basically, you know, almost a blank check to establish, you know, the Naval Visual Information Training Center, NAS Miami. Later, it was moved to NAS Pensacola. And so there's a lot of things that were kind of happening at the same time to establish military photography. And then a lot of what we did with regard to public affairs was already being covered in large part journalism, at least by, you know, civilian journalists and writers. And it really wasn't until World War II that public affairs itself as sort of a separate entity became such an important part of military communications.
Very cool. During today's episode, we'll be hearing from some current DINFOS instructors in the building about what their favorite DINFOS memories are, some of their thoughts about DINFOS's history and traditions, and really just about what DINFOS means to them. So as we go through the episode today with Pete, look forward to that. We've got the first one here for you now.
Alicia McQueen, and I'm an MCF instructor. Well, I graduated DINFOS in 1988 from what was then the basic journalist course, so it's print journalism. And that career field was a 71 series, and then it changed over to 46 series. But I also came back to DINFOS when I was still active duty Army to take the intermediate photojournalism course, and I'd always wanted to be an instructor here, but I didn't get the opportunity until the last time, my last assignment when I was active duty.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So that was like you slid in.
I did. It was from 99 to 2001. I was a photojournalism instructor.
You were an instructor when I came through DINFOS then.
Yeah.
And I came through here in 99. So
very good.
Cool. So what is your favorite DINFOS memory?
Actually, my favorite DINFOS memory, I had to go through and think of a lot of different ones because it's been amazing just being here in uniform, but being back here as a civilian, just great memories. However, my favorite memory has to be when I was able to work with my original journalism instructor when I came through when I was 18 years old. He was my main instructor, Master Sergeant, or then Master Sergeant Bob Dillier. When I came back as a civilian, I was actually on a team teaching journalism with him. And that was amazing to work with my very first mentor in the military and then having him as another mentor side by side, us doing the same work. So that was an awesome, about 3 or 4 years I worked with him on the same team, and I learned a lot. Mr. Dillier, Bob, as I got to know him when I was here, you know, out of uniform, he was just, he's passed away now, you know, so it means a lot to me that I was able to get to know him a little bit differently, because when I came through DINFOS the first time, I was a private, you know, and he was a master sergeant, and that's significant. You know, it's a significant difference, him being my instructor. And he was super strict. And I appreciated that because I knew it really pushed you to be better, and it was challenging because he had very high standards. And then when I was able to come back and teach with him and we were on an even level, I still looked at him as someone who I could learn a lot from, you know, but I had grown a lot too. And he treated me as that person who had grown and who knew more. And we were coworkers, you know, but we were also friends. He was an amazing guy, and it was really nice to get to know him on a more personal level.
Man, that's such a cool memory. Yeah, mm-hmm. And not many people get the opportunity to work directly with their mentor like that. That's super cool. So obviously DINFOS means a lot to you. Can you put that into words, kind of what DINFOS means to you?
DINFOS is where I think I was always meant to end up. Just my entire adult life, I've been affiliated with DINFOS from the time I came here when I was 18, which DINFOS was not here at Fort Meade. It was at Fort Benjamin Harrison, Indiana. I also attended the intermediate photojournalism course at Fort Ben Harrison. But when I came back here, I was able to do some work at DINFOS when I was assigned to another unit on base. But I was like, I need to get there as an instructor. So I know that's where I'm supposed to be. And it did happen. So when I decided to get off active duty, I was like, how can I get back to Denfos? And it was always something that I wanted to make happen. So I did come back here in 2003, and I've been here ever since. In different capacities, of course. I haven't done the exact same thing, but I've gotten to teach a lot of different courses. I've gotten to teach MCF when it from the very beginning to now, and seeing how it's changed. And I can't imagine being anywhere else. I love being in the military. I love being around military culture. I love teaching our students to do the job that I used to do and how it's changed so much over the years.
Yeah, it's funny. I always say that my favorite thing about this, it's the best job I've ever had, but it's the leaving a legacy behind every day that is makes it so valuable, I think.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. It's, I don't know, I'm happy to come to work every day, and I will not lie and say that every day is wonderful, but I think when you have those less than wonderful days, it makes you appreciate really what is most of the time really great.
So the history of military photography definitely goes back a ways. For pre-World War II public affairs, really the other major pillar that you know that these schools began teaching, public affairs missions were really managed through civilian press. But by the time you get to World War II and just the change in how information is documented and presented to the public, it highlighted a need for formalized military public affairs training. So you have the establishment of the Army Information School that, you know, at Carlisle Barracks in Pennsylvania to meet that need. You have the Air Force Public Information School opened in 1947 at Craig Air Force Base in Alabama to also provide specialized public affairs training. The Navy Journalism School, also established in 47 at Great Lakes.
Everybody was doing their own thing.
Everyone had their own idea of what was important to teach in public affairs and how to do it. And so that really from the beginning of 1946, 1947, these schools being established already created a conversation about, well, why don't we take these schools and put them together? And I think there was a lot of resistance to that because, I mean, even now we have conversations at DINFOS all the time, and we have for the almost 20 years I've been here, about what is that balance between teaching, the difference between teaching, you know, individual things that are maybe are specific to services or that different services value, you know, very much in comparison to the others, and also how to teach everyone at once in the established practices out in the real world, out in in the industry standards, and kind of doing that in a way that accommodates the differences in the services. We have different services for a reason, and they do public affairs and photography and visual information, Comstrat, maintenance, all of those, they do it slightly different ways. And so I think that conversation just has been going on for the better part of 80 years of how to teach those things to multiple services, which saves the taxpayers money, which you know gives us all a language that we can speak with one another while also meeting the needs of the individual services. And that conversation really started with the establishment of all of these schools, and ultimately I think led to the consolidation into DINFOS.
Yeah, and so sort of when did that happen, and what was kind of the cause behind that? Did they finally realize that it was such a specialized skill that we needed to consolidate? Was it more about taxpayer funding? You know, what was kind of the cause that brought all the services together under one roof?
So we talked about, you know, many of these schools being established in 1946, 1947, and as early as 1948, that was already a conversation that was happening. You have the Army Information School conducted a series of meetings. The Armed Forces Information School was established as a way to consolidate some of that. So the Army Information School was turned into the Armed Forces Information School to fold in other services and relocated to Fort Slocum in 1951. And that really became kind of the battleground of, like, how do we get this information? How do we get these schools to teach kind of off the same sheet of music, if you will? So the Army and Air Force Information Schools were combined into AFIS. The Navy, though, continued to operate its Journalism School. So this was most of the mid 1950s, all the way till about 1961, when the Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara and the ASDPA Arthur Sylvester decided we need to take real efforts to consolidate.
Right. We've been doing it too long in too many different ways. We need to kind of get together and have a single voice and purpose moving forward.
The idea to have a joint service school that's economical, that's efficient.
Sure.
And so February 21st, 1964, 60 years ago, the DOD issued a charter for DINFOS. And so we tend to think about the beginning of DINFOS being at Fort Benjamin Harrison, but actually it was Fort Slocum, New York, where that charter was issued and the first classes at the Defense Information School began being taught. And then literally a year later, September 65, DINFOS moved to Fort Benjamin Harrison. And the Army, it was basically an Army school that had multiple services all the way up until about 1973. And then the Army Training and Doctrine Command assumed responsibility for DINFOS.
And that was still all at Fort Penn.
That was at Fort Benjamin Harrison. And that was really how DINFOS became DINFOS.
And they were still teaching at that point where they were teaching more than just photography and PA. They were teaching more of the fundamental, like writing skills. Was that part of what they were doing back then too? Did the instruction at DINFOS start to evolve as the schools came together, I guess is my question.
It did. I think more as more schools came together and as different disciplines became folded into that, DINFOS began to expand and became really more of its own entity. Like, this is DINFOS, this is the DINFOS way. Once, you know, it was about 10 years old, the way into the 70s and 80s. Although there were still a lot of these schools that remained open, eventually when DINFOS moved to Fort Meade, where we are now, many of those schools, for a lot of different reasons, were folded into DINFOS. And that story took, you know, has unfolded over the last 25 years or so.
So DINFOS, as we know it here today at Fort Meade, really started in the early 90s. So tell me more about that period in our history.
It did. So starting in 91, AFIS, the Armed Forces Information Service, requested some reviews to see, okay, what will happen. You have the BRAC, the base relocation, that was also taking place. And so they identified Fort Meade would be, you know, a fiscally responsible place to put the school. Its, you know, location in relation to the Pentagon, for example, and a lot of other things were different factors that they took into account. And then in 92, they approved the transfer. And starting in 1993, not only did they start planning the move for DINFOS, but you have the Navy School of Photography at Pensacola, and certain broadcast elements of the Air Force's technical training group were transferred to AFIS and then reestablished at the Defense Information School.
So finally trying to get everybody
right
under one roof.
In 1993, the Defense Visual Information School started looking at establishing their presence as part of DINFOS as well. Training ended at Lowry Air Force Base, where it had been. I mean, we've talked about, you know, that training was established in the 1930s from the earliest schools that were stood up in 1917, and they eventually became part of DINFOS. So in 93, the Defense Visual Information School Advance Party occupied temporary facilities at Fort Meade. And so that caused a lot of things to happen. The first class of the basic television equipment maintenance course, which we have taught at DINFOS for years and years, was actually taught before DINFOS got here, August 1994.
Yeah, so they were in temporary facilities for a long time while they waited for the school to be built, right, I guess.
And so the move started in 95. The last basic journalist course graduated in June 95. It's coming up on that anniversary. And then 3 weeks later, DINFOS started setting up shop here at Fort Meade.
My name is Emily Houderschult. I am a Mass Communication Foundations instructor. I arrived to DINFOS a few months after joining the Army in 2014. So I was here from the end of 2014 into 2015. I graduated, I want to say, like May of 2015. I graduated from the Basic Television Equipment Maintenance course, or BTVM, which is the course for the Army's maintainers. So I don't have as much fun experience or like as much memories of the, you know, going out on field trips or doing all the video or all the fun radio stuff. But I definitely got to do a lot of interesting, more maintenance side of the house, more like electronics or dealing with audiovisual equipment as opposed to learning how to do the artistic side of them.
And what's that like for the people who don't know? Like, what is it day-to-day life for a maintainer who comes through DINFOS?
So it's definitely a different experience than I think most people think of when they think of DINFOS. So the first 2 months are just dedicated to one functional area known as electronic fundamentals. To us, it's known as EFC. It's almost like the trials before you actually get to the real course. It is 2 months of sitting in a classroom and just learning math, learning science. You don't get as much equipment hands-on. And especially when I went through, it was like you were very lucky if you didn't lose a student during that part. We usually lost at least like a solid, doing some quick math, like 5% of the course, at the 5 to 10% of the class before getting out of there. So, but once you kind of, and I say it's the trials because once you get through that, once you figure out like how to study, how to work with math and science, then you get to do the quote unquote fun stuff. You start learning about computers, you start learning about cameras, and you learn a lot about the other technologies that the other courses are using, but you learn at it from more of a technical standpoint. So instead of, you know, using rule of thirds to create a nice shot, you're actually learning, okay, if you add this amount of red, this amount of green, this amount of blue to an image, this is how you can properly color correct. So it's interesting because it's very similar to the other courses, but you see like this whole different perspective.
Cool. What's your favorite DINFOS memory?
So my favorite DINFOS memory that continues to live on to this day. So as a maintainer, you get kind of jealous throughout the course because you see all your like the people taking photos, taking videos, having fun. And you're like, ah, man, I get to like, you know, I get to learn interesting stuff, but I'm just working on computers. I'm just working in a studio setup. So there's a functional area for video. And the only task you have is you just have to make a video. It can literally be two shots. I've seen a student just literally record a clock for 5 minutes and it counted. Because you're just showing mechanically, can you take a video? Can you cut it in Premiere? I had a video background before then, so I decided to make it my creative opportunity to have this fun that I saw everybody having around me. So I made the MOS used to be known as 25 Romeo. I made a 25 Romeo rap video. 18-year-old me sitting there singing, having my classmates join in with me. And it was like a super fun project. Passed the test with 100, thankfully, because I could show that I use Premiere. But what was funny is when I came back as an instructor in 2019, so I had a few years out in the field, I came back and I walked into class and one of them looked at me and was like, "You're a resistor sister." And I was like, "What?" And that was the rap group. So when he had said that originally, I was like, "Oh my goodness, how did you know? Like that's like a secret. Like how could you know?" I came to find out for the 5 years I'd been gone, every single class that had graduated after me had seen that video because it was like a camaraderie thing. So I learned to own it. So it got showed to all the classes after I started teaching. And now I've actually implemented it into my MCF classes as kind of like a little prize for them, that if they get like a certain percentage on their video tests, they get to see my rap video, and the students seem to really, really enjoy it.
That's tremendous. I love that. I love that you still have it, too. I think that's pretty great. I came through so early that none of my stuff exists because it was all, like, on tape, so it's all gone. But obviously, you know, you have some great DINFOS memories. You've been here a while. You're a civilian instructor now. What does DINFOS mean to you, kind of in a nutshell, if you had to summarize it?
To me, DINFOS is all about community. It's a very specific career field. It's a very small career field. So when I think of DINFOS, I think of all the people I met when I was here as a student. I think about all the people I've met here as an instructor, how much of an impact we've had to have in kind of like this hub of public affairs, visual information, maintenance. So I'm just excited every day that I get to come in and continue to be part of that community and keep adding to it, keep meeting new people, networking. That is like the biggest thing when I think of DINFOS is just community.
Defense Visual Information School consolidated here at DINFOS. In 98, the Defense Photography School consolidated with DINFOS. That's where we've been really since about 2000 is DINFOS has just been the place for military communicators to learn all disciplines from, visual information, photography, journalism, layout, design, maintenance, comstrat, broadcasting.
Yeah.
That's really what led to the establishment of DINFOS is just all of these schools being set up to teach what were becoming brand new disciplines. Photography was not just aerial photography was brand new. Photography as far as, a means for military communicators to use, was new. Wartime photography was new. All of these disciplines were brand new. And so the military was rushing to establish these schools. And as soon as they were established, they were consolidated. Each time something new was brought into the fold of military communication, those schools just sort of eventually gelled together. And DINFOS is the legacy of every single one of those schools, from Fort Belvoir, to NAS Pensacola to Great Lakes. Each of the disciplines that we teach here and have taught here, DINFOS is the legacy of that. And so that's the great part about working here is, you're part of that community of communicators, and we ourselves are varied and different and unique. And I think that's one of the coolest parts of this career field is there's still so much to learn and understand. And I feel like DINFOS' legacy is to remain at the forefront of that. I mean, we have done a lot of transitioning from different types of media. I was here 15 years ago when we started talking about how social media is going to be a really important thing to teach and to talk about. We've talked, numerous times about, mis and disinformation within social media, switching from, traditional broadcasting to podcasting. The discussions about AI are happening. They're even happening during our alumni events, talking, about those things and trying to remain, at the forefront of what's happening in communication technology and being able to understand our role within it. And what we're able to do for our commanders and leaders.
My name is Marlon Stiles, and I'm an instructor trainer at the Defense Information School.
And what is your history with DINFOS?
My history with DINFOS is I came here in the winter of 2008. Winter was about to end. It was January. And I was a broadcast journalist. 46 Romeo is what it was. Now we're Sierras. And I spent three very scary months here at the Defense Information School in school. And I spent about 3 months on AFI, awaiting further instruction at the detachment, the Army detachment.
That sounds terrible. That's not your favorite DINFOS memory, obviously.
No.
What is your favorite DINFOS memory?
So my favorite DINFOS memory that's probably kind of scary is the old BWAS classroom. My instructors were Miss Tony, Julie Blackburn, and Master Sergeant Kelty. And we had the voice and diction studios in the back. Julie Blackburn was listening to me do my news copy in the studio, and she brings me in, and she's, so professional, so smiley, but she's very straight to the point. And so she's like, I would like to commend you on your voice. You have a great voice. And I'm like, thank you. And she was like, it's because of that great voice that you are passing. I was like, okay. So my voice addiction, she said it's rough, but because it's pleasant to listen to you, you're passing. And I remember walking out of the room thinking, yes, I made it. And so that is one of my favorite memories at the Defense Information School.
That's a great one. I love that. Obviously, you know, having been here as an instructor, as a service member, and now as a civilian, DINFOS means a lot to you. And as a student, what does DINFOS mean to you, if you could sum it up?
So for me now, DINFOS is an opportunity to see a bunch of young mass communicators become better. I love when students actually grasp the material and realize that they can do the thing that they've been stressing over for however many weeks they've been a part of the class. And then I love getting the emails when they get out to the fleet and field. Mr. Stiles, I understand now why MCF was so hard. I understand now why you were so adamant about paying attention to accuracy. I just enjoy when they realize that all their hard work is paying off.
So we talked a little bit about our history and our legacy. So tell me a little bit about what it looks like for DINFOS moving forward.
I think the legacy of DINFOS is in our ability to look forward. It is in our ability to look at what are emerging technologies, what are emerging trends, and how do we take what industry standard is and what folks are doing in communication fields around the world and in all sorts of different industries, education, and apply the most important pieces of that, the most relevant pieces of that to military communication and what we do. We've seen our graduates are essentially that front line. Our alumni, you know, are at the front lines of military communication in ways that they're taking the things that we taught them and what they know about being at, you know, they're taking what we train them in and their own, you know, newness to the field, their own, you know, experiences at, you know, I hate to say it, but the tip of the spear, and really they're the ones who are taking all this information and synthesizing it into products. The work that I see my students doing is just amazing because it makes me think, I had never thought to incorporate that, or I had never thought to do that. And I love seeing that. I love seeing, you know, bases, ships, you know, and even the main social media pages, you know, the main social media accounts for each of the services feature creative work that meets that mission, but does it in a way that feels new, that feels relevant. It feels like we're incorporating, you know, what is happening, what is now. You know, I've seen, you know, command social media that resembles, you know, sort of that TikTok, that quick and, you know, fun and almost light sort of mindset, but in conveying certain types of information, even though it's not my aesthetic, it's not my, you know, not necessarily the thing that I gravitate towards. It's taking command information and packaging it in a way that is digestible for that audience. And at the same time, they're taking conventional photos and doing photo stories and moving, you know, people with pictures and with, you know, images and words. And so it's I feel like right now DINFOS is we're poised. We're in a really great place to be, you know, poised at constantly having to come up with a way to take new technology and turn it into something that is tangible and something that we can say, like, this promotes, you know, the commander's intent and our efforts in the military.
It's funny, too. I came through DINFOS in 99, so I'm old enough, but not quite, you know, the full 60 years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even as a student in 99 and now as an instructor here since 2017, the fundamental foundational things that we teach here at DINFOS have changed very little. Mm-hmm. You know, we do such an amazing job adapting to these new technologies and, as you said, creating products every day that are relevant to what people are wanting to see and to get the commander's intent out there and are visible and imaginative, right? But the fundamental training and knowledge and skill of rule of thirds and exposure and focus and, mm-hmm. and you know, narrative and graphic skill and just everything that we do here has always remained, to me, a skill that is unchanging, right? You still have to know how to hold a camera. You still have to know how to turn it on and put batteries in it and get proper exposure and get good focus and do all of those fundamental skills and training. So it's so interesting that even today you can look at the current training that we have and see our legacy from 60 years ago or even 100 years ago as we change and evolve and grow into the future.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a tricky thing to learn, I think, as an instructor, and to continue to relearn as you continue and you know, pushing students through year after year, is that a good photo is a good photo. A strong story is a strong story. Well written text, great visual products are still there are some fundamentals that we just simply must teach. But the great part is that once we've built on those fundamentals, it's amazing what our students and alumni are able to do. Once they hit the field and fleet, just the idea of this is a really good graphic, but motion graphics are just as easy at this point.
Right.
And so being able to incorporate that, being able to create more dynamic products, but that still meet those same standards of, strong visual information, well-written, well-thought-out narrative, and intelligent communication strategy that can be implemented practically is such an important thing that, that's the thing that I think keeps me energized here at Denfos. As I get older and as I teach, longer and longer, and, the longer I'm here at Denfos, the more I feel like it becomes an important thing to understand what's happening at the very cutting edge of, public affairs and visual information, because I don't want to be left behind either. And I think Denfos has always been able to stay, just to ride that wave and to stay at that leading edge, because I think if we don't, then we lose a lot. And so I think that's, I think this 60th anniversary for me provides an opportunity to look back at everything that we've done and the ways that we have tried to stay at the forefront of communication to meet our audiences where they are and to support, to support the mission and to support the commanders.
My name is U.S. Army Staff Sergeant Justin Cooled. So I first came to Denfos as a reclass student. I was reclassifying from a phone operator, and that was a terrible job. And somebody pointed me in the direction of PAO. And I came in and October of 2007 as a broadcast student. So I became as a broadcast journalist in 2007. I returned 10 years later, almost to the day, in 2017, as an instructor. I'd come back for AEJC, Advanced Electronic Journalism, in 2015, but I came back as an instructor in 2017. Did that for 3 years, worked in the broadcast, I worked in the radio section, and helped rewrite the new broadcast journalism course. And then left for a year, went to Korea, did AFN, and came back and been teaching since.
Excellent. And what is your favorite Denfos memory?
Favorite Denfos memory. So again, in it was first week of October 2007, walking into Denfos for the first time, old specialist cool, walked in the building and immediately I felt like, wow, I'm home. I've made it. This is where I belong. This career field, this building is my new home. It still kind of gives me goosebumps when I think about it, because at the time I had decided I was going to get out of the Army. I was done with the Army. I was going to go work as a civilian. I was going to go make movies or do whatever. And, I got in the building and I went, maybe I can do this. Maybe this is something I want to do. And I was 100% right. It is something I wanted to do. And it has been something I've wanted to do. So being selected as an instructor, it just kind of like, founded that, it reinforced that belief for me that this is where I belong. I was over the moon when I found that out. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what does Denfos mean to you? Obviously a lot, but if you could summarize it in just a few words, what does Denfos mean to you?
Denfos to me, is the standard bearer for, all things public affairs. Civilian or military. I know there might be somebody who cringes when I say that, but honestly, like, you can take what you learn at Denfos and what you learn as a public affairs specialist out into the into the world, the real world, as we call it, as instructors, we call it the real world when it's when we're not talking about being in the military, we're talking about civilian life. You could take that and it works. It applies. I did training with industry for a year, and the lessons that I learned at DINFOS and I learned in our career field, it was applicable. Everything that I had learned about public affairs from DINFOS, from doing the job, applied. So to me, DINFOS is the standard bearer for public affairs. There's no place else in the world where you can go to for 3 to 6 months and become an expert in public affairs. And so that is what that means to me.
Is there anything you want to add? Maybe something that we haven't talked about, or any other questions about our history or traditions, or anything you feel like the public would want to know as we talk more about our 60th anniversary coming up and all of the celebrations and fun stuff that we have going into it?
I just want folks to know, if you're a DINFOS alum, like, you should absolutely be part of as many of these events as you possibly can. If you aren't able to make it during Alumni Week out here to Fort Meade, you know, we'll still be doing live streams of those ceremonies. But also what we're asking for is, if you have stories, if you've been stationed at any of these schools, if you feel like there are schools that became part of, you know, that legacy, that are, you know, taught visual information, communication strategy, public affairs, broadcasting, maintenance, that, you know, you're part of our family, and we want those stories because we want a more complete history. We don't have all the images, videos, and stories that we would love to have. Well, we would love for you to share those with us, communicate, you know, through any of our social media. You know, it will find its way to our team as we try to consolidate that history. And we'll still be doing things throughout the year. You know, we want to, I think a lot of folks are familiar with the DINFOS flag football game, the toilet bowl. We still do that. So our social media, like, as we get closer, I've got old t-shirts from like the 90s, I think a couple from the 80s. So we're going to feature those. We're going to have, you know, a lot of photo galleries for really the events that those of us who've been through DINFOS remember the most. We want to, you know, really be prominent with the graduations, so that people can see student work, the folks that we memorialize in our Hall of Heroes, the folks that we celebrate in our Hall of Fame, things like the toilet bowl, and really just the way that we DINFOS does the holidays. All of those things we want to make as prominent and put out there as much as possible, so that our alumni, you know, to me, DINFOS is as much my alma mater as the university I graduated from. In some cases, more so, because DINFOS, more than any place I've ever been, led to really everything that's happened in my adult life. And for a lot of us, it's the same way. Even if we were only, briefly, it kind of creates who we are. And so for those of us, you know, who don't even necessarily have an alma mater, DINFOS is that. And so, to me, this is an opportunity to really to celebrate that legacy that is our legacy.
I don't think I could have said it any better, Pete. That was great. Well, thank you for joining us today. I know it was a very special episode. We've got a lot of really fun, exciting stuff coming up here as we talk more about the 60th anniversary and go into Alumni Week and have a bunch of fun activities and events. So please join us on all of our social media. Pay attention to our Facebook page and all of our other social medias, and just basically be on the lookout for some more fun stuff coming from DINFOS as we talk more about this over the next few months and celebrate our 60th anniversary. So, Pete, thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate it. I thought that was really illuminating, and hopefully it's going to win me a couple of rounds of trivia somewhere.
All right.
Thanks. We'll be right back.